Ephesians 5, we'll go down to verse number 8, just reread our text from this morning. And while we won't reference much of Galatians chapter 5 as a supporting text, although we will, we'll also use Colossians 3 here in just a little bit and talk about the fruits of being filled. Recap quickly this morning in a moment what we went over and then add on this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, but whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we'll pause there, and that'll be the portion we try to just give an overview of this afternoon where we pick up where we left off. Isaiah, you want to have a word of prayer to get us started for the preaching? Thanks, buddy. After that prayer and have a blessing. But anyway, we talked this morning about the fruits of being filled, and as that is the need of the hour, is not just the power of what man can do, whether it is a person in your life necessarily, someone you know, whether it is an elected official, whether it is the president and all the work that they have done and are trying to do in the future. But what we need is the power of God that comes through the Holy Ghost. But we said it comes at a cost. That I can't just live and conduct myself in any way that I choose and still expect to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That salvation, when we were indwelled with the Holy Ghost moves in at your salvation, that was free to us. Didn't cost us anything. We simply turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, and the Holy Ghost moves in. He is that seal. But the fullness of the Holy Ghost is different than the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. To where we are, the songwriter said, channels only. That it's a channel for which power, so which something can flow, that without something flowing through it, it is just an empty channel. But if that channel is filled up with the wrong things, that which should be flowing through is stopped up. And we understand that, certainly in the days in which we live recently, about things like rain flowing too much in places that it shouldn't, and things washing out that we didn't want it to. And we used to call them roads, and now we, I don't know what we call them, but they said in England they drive on the left of the road. In New England we drive on what's left of the road. And that's just how it is this time of year. You say, well, how do I know, preacher? Am I filled with the Holy Ghost? We can tell that, just like you can tell if you're born again, by going to 1 John and other books and comparing, these things have I written unto you that ye may know. And it gives you signs in 1 John about that will be the earmarks of a believer. You can know if you're full of the Holy Ghost by checking the fruits of the Spirit. We said throughout the book of Ephesians, it talks about being strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit. How's my inner man? How's my mind, my thoughts? In chapter 4, we said there'll be unity. There'll be a renewing of our mind. Chapter 5, we just read it. So the fruit of the Spirit will be goodness, righteousness, truth. Chapter 6, we read, said we'll be in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We'll be praying in the Spirit. And then we went over to Galatians chapter 5 and talked about that list we're very familiar with about the fruits of the Spirit and all of those words that we just briefly went over. We didn't actually break down each one. We'll do that when we get to a study in Galatians. We said, by way of illustration, of the Holy Ghost descending as a dove upon Christ, it's the idea of a being that is fragile, that is sensitive. It's not that it is not powerful. The Holy Ghost, there is no one that is his equal. It is that dunamis power, that dynamite, explosive type power, but that he is not going to force his will in way on anyone. There will be, we'll see in a few minutes here, how the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he can turn it. There are certain things that God brings to pass and pressures he brings in that will guide a man's footsteps and get him to make decisions. Like the building of the temple there in Jerusalem, that God put it in the heart of the king, men said. So I understand that, we'll get to that a little bit, but he's not going to force us. So we have to put off or refrain from that which costs us the fullness of the Spirit and put on that which will bring the filling of the Spirit. And I think when we get there, it's just those three words I gave you at the end of the message this morning. It'll seem lackluster. Is that a word I can use? Hopefully it's in the right context there. It'll seem anticlimactic. You say, give us the big secret. What is it that we have to do to be filled with the Holy Ghost? There is no big spooky secret. And we'll get to that in a few moments. But we said, what cost it? We said, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4, when we put on the wrong things and put off the wrong things, and we live like we did when we were dead in our sins, Ephesians chapter 2, we cause the Spirit to mourn as if over the dead. We said, quenching the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That fire, that illuminating light of the Spirit, we quench it by putting on water or dirt of this world, or by ignoring it and not feeding the fire and letting it dim in our lives. We said resisting the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter number 7, where there was a crowd that had seen and read and heard the revealed word of God, those prophets, and they had stiff-armed it. They rejected the word of God. Number 4, we said lying to the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 5. Men and women that wanted to appear spiritual without being spiritual, they were putting up a false representation of what they truly were. And to man, they would say they have a form of godliness, but there was no power. And lastly, we said that this idea of despot or despiting the Holy Spirit, the defying and despising of the Spirit of God, where there is an intentional and deliberate injury to the Spirit of God, sinning willfully, and how dangerous that is. We get down here to Ephesians 5 for this afternoon in verse number 18, and it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we'll go to 19, 20, and 21 in a moment, but I want to stop and paint the picture there. And we're not going to get off on what is this verse teaching on moderation of alcoholic beverages versus complete abstinence of alcohol. I think the Bible is very clear on that, that if it is something that the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't do, it's something a child of God shouldn't do. And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't even a wine sipper. But that's not the message of today. He's painting a picture here of a man who is drunk, a wino, and a man who is full of the Holy Ghost, that there is a contrast, but there are similarities in being drunk on wine and being full or under the influence of the Spirit. I'm not asking for a show of hands of who's ever been charged with OUI or DWI, and I wouldn't want to know. We got guys at work, they talk about it openly and freely, and I have read somewhere years ago that the average person, before they're actually arrested for an OUI, has driven at least 80 other times intoxicated, and I have no use for that type of behavior. But the picture there of someone who is operating under the influence means it has altered their mindset, it has altered their behaviors to the point the state has said they're not safe to operate a vehicle because they're no longer in control. And Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost, operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit, where there's some things that are different. You are no longer the one in control of all that you do. You have yielded, surrendered your members as instruments of righteousness under the Holy Ghost. So for instance, we deal quite a bit with this at the hospital. Unfortunately, the days are gone where someone got picked up drunk, they'd take them to the drunk tank at jail and they'd sleep it off. They'd take them home or write them a summons or put them in jail, or they just drive them home and drop them off. Now if that happens, they bring them to the hospital because the jails won't take them. And we get to deal with them until they sober up. There's something about being drunk where people have, I use the word boldness, that's a Bible word, but false bravado would probably be a better word. Little thought for personal safety. I mean, they think they can whoop anybody and anyone. And they find out very quickly, there's not very many of us, there's a few of us that when our fathers were raising their sons in my generation, when they were pouring in the ingredients of life, they forgot to pour in any backup or any cowardice. I'm not saying there's things that don't scare me, but I haven't found that person yet. But these guys come in, or these gals, and they are have consumed alcohol, and they have boldness where they don't give any thought for their own personal safety about what they do. I don't know if you have been around those that have consumed alcoholic beverages, and I hope you have not, especially our children, and that you stay that way, you stay innocent. But I'm telling you, by personal experience of observation, not by my own, I've never been drunk. I'm not Catholic, I'm Baptist. I can't get off on that either. But drunk people, their speech is affected. If you don't believe that, I can show you some clips, but they say things they wouldn't normally say. They walk differently. They don't think so, but they walk drastically differently than they did before they started drinking. You could say their sight is different. How they see things is altered. When they're telling the state trooper, I know you, but who's your friend? And there's only one state trooper there. Their hearing is different because their process is different. Their thought process is slowed way down. The comparison being, if you are operating under the influence of the Holy Ghost, what does that look like? What is Paul saying? He said, then you will have boldness. You will say things you wouldn't normally be comfortable saying. In the early church of Acts, when the Holy Ghost fell, they were all found boldly proclaiming and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, when just a few short weeks before, they were hiding in caves and houses saying, I don't even know the man. The cost of identifying with Christ had not come down, but their boldness had come up because they were operating under the influence of the Holy Ghost. There was boldness, there was power there. So you say, how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit of God? Do you boldly proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do not, you are not full of the Holy Ghost. I am not filled with the Holy Ghost. Our speech will be different. We'll be boldly proclaiming. Will we have little thought of personal cost or risk? We could say it just like the comparison there. Our walk will be different. Our sight will be different. So what do you mean? It means our perception will be different. We'll start to see battles like we didn't see them. But this isn't flesh and blood. This is bigger than that. It's principalities and powers. We'll see persecution differently. I'm not saying they did not, but if we had gotten there, the sermon of the day that I have in the bag there was going to be Peter in Acts chapter 12. That's where we are in the book of Acts, coming out of prison with the angels. But you don't find Peter trying to find a loose door. You don't find Paul and Silas trying to pick the locks. They saw differently because they had the Holy Ghost. They saw persecution as an open door of opportunity to be before men and leaders and royalty that their own path would have never gone without the persecution. Reminds me of my dad and I went and saw a church in Maine that was hosting the viewing of Tortured for Christ last year, the year before. I own the video. I highly recommend it. But with viewer discretion advised, it's very thematical. But it's a story of the preacher Richard Wurmbrand, who when they had the Council of Churches in Romania, when communism took over, they brought 350 or so, I think the number was, preachers in from different faiths and churches, and Joseph Stalin was the guest of honor. That should tell you there's something wrong with that religious meeting already. And had them coming up one at a time to a microphone and pledging loyalty to communism and telling on an open microphone to the nation, to the people, that communism and Christianity can coexist. Richard Wurmbrand is sitting there, obviously burdened by what he is hearing, obviously bothered by it, but says nothing. And it gets to the point that his wife says, Richard, basically it condenses, said, Richard, stand up and say something. To wipe this spit and shame from the face of our Savior. And he said, if I do, you have no husband. And she said, I have no need of a coward for a husband. And the man stood up and was given the microphone out of turn, because he was a respected leader. They said, if we can get Wurmbrand to tell the masses, we've got him. And he stood at great personal expense, told the nation on live open microphone there, that Christianity and Christ and communism cannot coexist. He was not looking for a way out of persecution and out of the battle. He was seeing differently that if it's peace or persecution, God can use this. The person that is full of the Holy Ghost sees death differently. just a change of address. It is said, as much as people pretend that it is not, alcohol is a depressant. It controls or slows down the brain and the thinking, the self-control. It slows down understanding and balance, judgment, motor skills. The opposite, the contrast there being the spirit, could be more of a stimulant, if you will. He brings alive or makes awake and alert the mind and the will, the emotion and the spirit. And Paul is painting a picture here. You ought to put off those things that are controlling you that is not the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And can I make a disclaimer here about a man who is intoxicated versus a man who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and say this because it applies to both situations. A man doesn't get drunk by accident. Drunkenness is not a disease. It is a result of choices. And I understand we got guys that I work with, and perhaps people at the hospital that are aware now that we're open. They have been for a few weeks, so some of them are getting onto the live stream and checking us out, and they would disagree with that 100%. But drunkenness is a disease. It is not a disease, it is a sin. It is a result of choice. And they say, well, this, we had a man come in this week 3 times in 24 hours for detox. Kept checking himself out because he can leave, and leaving, he'd go have a few beers and come back and say, I need detox. And leave and do it again. They said, well, the man, don't judge him. That is his disease. It's a sickness. He can't help it. And I said, I'm a Diet Coke drinker by trade before Dr. Shaw made it possible on his daily updates with the CDC. Apparently people are going out buying Dr. Shaw t-shirts and drinking Diet Coke because he does it. I said, where was it when Chris Teft and I were drinking Diet Coke? And if you don't know Chris Teft is, don't bother. And I took way too many classes with that guy, if you can't tell. And I tell the guys at work, I say, can I say something? I'm not trying to be mean at all, but if I don't have Diet Coke at the house, there's nothing in me that makes me get in my vehicle. I chose to put my shoes on. I chose to get into the vehicle. I chose to go to the store. I chose to go in. I chose to open the door. I chose to get out a can. I chose to put out some money. I chose to go home. I chose to open it. I chose to drink it. It is not by accident that a man finds himself drunk, nor is it by accident that a man finds himself full of the Holy Ghost. If you're going to be a drunkard, you must keep doing that which it takes to stay under the influence. If a man says, I can't do this anymore, I can't live this way anymore, perhaps it is he finds Christ and his life is now being transformed. If he stops doing that which got him intoxicated, it will wear off and he will no longer be intoxicated. Praise be to God. Amen. If a man says, I enjoy the presence of God this morning, the Spirit of God is working in my life, the Word of God is open to me like never before, and he stops doing that which it took to be full of the Spirit of God, he will not be. That's right. Galatians chapter number 5 is our other text that we looked at this morning. I just wanted to read a couple of verses there. It's just to show us that you can't keep drinking and be surprised if you're drunk. Galatians 5:16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He's showing here, you won't, you can't do both. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You can't do both. You can't serve both masters. I can't be sober and drunk, nor can I be walking in the flesh and putting on the flesh and grieving the Spirit and resisting the Spirit, all those things we said, and be filled with the Spirit of God and have His power. It doesn't work that way. Can't keep feeding the flesh and starving the Spirit and expect to be filled. That's why He gave us chapter 4 here in Ephesians chapter 5 of put off, put away, neither give place. So I'm putting off and putting on some things. I'm resisting the old master, controlled by the new. And again, can we say this about going there? I think most of us know Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. This is not about just an external conforming. That I've got to do all these things and stop doing all these things. It begins by the renewing of the inner man, the renewing of our minds, which will evidence itself externally. But in our text, Ephesians chapter number 5, and I thought we wouldn't be long, so let me just try to hasten here. Verse number 19, after it says filled with the Spirit, it says this. I think these are some helps here. What it looks like to be filled with the Spirit, how you stay full of the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So what do we say here? What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit of God? How do I stay filled with the Spirit of God? Number one, he uses the word speaking. He says, speaking to yourselves. Then he gives a list, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think there is a reason, there's a clear distinction here between speaking and the next one, which is singing. Where we're speaking to ourselves, the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs. It is what those settings, those genres, if you will, of truth that we are speaking to ourselves. You say, what are you saying? We need copious amounts of the Word of God. Not, well, I have an app on my phone. It pops up, gives you a verse and a devotion of the day. But in that same app, it gives you how to read through the Bible and or the New Testament in 90 days or Proverbs in 31 days. So it is not, well, I had a verse or I read that or I got to church and I heard the preaching and man, that was good. It is, we need copious, excessive, which is not even an applicable word to the Word of God, amounts of the Word of God, where it is what we take in and digest and meditate and saturate ourselves with. It is more than, I believe, just the singing of the hymns that contain truth, which we'll get to. He says, speaking to yourselves the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs, taking in the Word of God. If that's what he said in Ephesians chapter 5 about be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, and goes on to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is how it's worded in Colossians chapter number 3. It says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And he goes on to say, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it's a very similar thing. And now the secret's out of the bag. It wasn't a secret because you already knew it. How do I find myself full of the Spirit of God? I saturate myself with the Word of God. I don't just sing songs about God, sing songs that contain truth from the Word of God, but I speak to myself, Claude says, I teach and I admonish myself and one another in the Word of God. You see, that's not very deep. It's not. Anybody, a child of God, can be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's more than just reading, although we should. It's the teaching, the admonishing, that I am a student of the Word. That I read and then I go and take steps so I can comprehend, I can grasp the truth, I can apply the Word and find myself approved unto God. Speaking truth, speaking the Word of God, taking in the Word of God, which does play and tie right into the next one here in Ephesians 5. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I think these all tie together, obviously. It's the speaking, it's an internal thing that becomes a song, starts inside and goes out through our mouth. I understand all of that, where it starts within with worship and it comes out in praise, which is audible. And I'm just glossing over these, and it's hopefully breadcrumbs. You take them and you study them out more, that I'm speaking, I'm taking in the Word of God, I am singing. I cannot stress the importance of godly music in our hearts and what comes out of our mouth. What goes into our ears and down into our thoughts, that I have the right kind of singing. You see, what does it look like to have the right message? And so you ought to be able to take out a hymnal. If you say it's a good song, maybe it's not just in a song, but you say this is a gospel song, you'd really enjoy it. You ought to be able to take it and shut the music off to it and just read the words, and it ought to move you just as much as when the music was to the words. It ought to have the right message. Truths based on the Word of God. It ought to have the right music. That when I turn it on, what it appeals to is not the flesh primarily. Not against fast song, not against a good pace to a song. I think it helps, even with memory, etc., to words. When you put even scriptures to music, it helps. I get all that. But I better have the right message. It better have the right music where it moves the Spirit to worship God rather than moves my flesh. And can I just say this in passing before I give you the last point today? It ought to come from the right men or the right manpower. It ought to have the right message, which is truth based on the principles of the Word of God, the right music, but it ought to come from the right manpower. I honestly cannot believe in my own life, in our own circles, in our own churches, that we in America, we have 10 to 15,000 independent Baptist churches, and we're still borrowing music from the world. We're still borrowing music from the charismatics. We're still singing songs written by men who are now Sodomites. Ray Bolts and the rest of them. So I love some of their music. I do too. And some of those men that wrote good gospel songs that have now turned and they are now going after strange flesh. We ought to be careful that the music we are taking in is from the right source. Men and women that are in tune with God, not just trying to make money off of gospel genre. So it's about singing the right songs with the right motive. So it's not just my lips, but he says here inside, it's the heart. The truths of the words are resonating in my heart, in my thoughts, and an audible praise flows from my lips. It could be said this way, the wrong music depresses and suppresses. The right music quickens and stimulates the spirit. Let me just get the last one and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse number 19, talking about being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Talking about taking in truth of the Word of God, singing and making melody in your heart to God, the Lord. Ties into verse 20 about giving of thanks. And then verse 21, we'll just briefly touch this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God to do that which continues to be filled. I've got to be in the Word of God. I've got to be in the right kind of music. And it comes down not just speaking and singing, but submitting or serving. And we could go, I won't right now, but maybe next Sunday we will, to Philippians chapter 2. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's a mindset that reflects Christ. And Christ's mindset was not, don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I'm going to be your Savior if you come to me. I'm the Messiah, I'm the Passover Lamb. His mindset, even in the last hours before his arrest and his death, was to bind a towel about himself, was to kneel and to wash dirty feet of men he had put into the ministry. And our mindset, if we say, what is it to be filled with the Spirit of God? I'll be speaking or studying the Word of God, singing the right music about God, and I will be submitting or serving other people. Anything else is a matter of pride.
Yes, sir.
That leads to contention. Because pride is a byproduct of the flesh. And as we'll close here in Galatians chapter number 5, the flesh and the spirit don't mix. The flesh and the spirit are enemies. And it's an understanding that fullness of the Holy Ghost, what does it look like? It means I submit to the role that God has for me, which involves fulfilling my responsibilities that are in my role, which is evidenced in my relationships as I serve God and others. Galatians chapter 5 down to verse number 13 shows us again here, Satan's goal, his distraction is to get us to focus on ourselves and how much we sacrifice, how much we go without, how much this will cost us. The Spirit's leading is to focus on Christ and on others. Galatians chapter 5 verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It's a very good admonition from the Word of God. It says a life of being Spirit-filled is what produces fruits of the Spirit, evidences of being filled. We are there, we maintain that by speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, by singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord, and by being in submission or service to one another. It is reflective, it is indicative of having or possessing the mind of Christ. Never one time did he ever put himself above another or before another. He always pointed back to this is my Father's will. This is my Father wants for us. The Holy Ghost operates the same way. The Holy Spirit does not ever draw attention to the Holy Spirit. About praying in the Spirit, I get that. People use the phrase slain in the Spirit. I don't necessarily get that. But if it is a moving of the Holy Spirit, the telltale sign always is there is a pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was sent to bring men, to draw men to Christ, not to himself. And that's the same spirit we possess or should possess as we are drawing men in to Christ. It's not about us. We're in submission and service to one another. Let's pray. We'll